I'm not sure why, but I kind of am a statistic person. I enjoy, and some of the trivia that we come that we come in contact with, I'm just kind of intrigued by some of that. Like, did you know that if there are 23 people in a room, there's a 50% chance that two of you have the same birthday? Why is that important? I don't know. But, it's just that kind of stuff I kind of am intrigued by. A few years ago, I was in one particular public restroom, and by the door, there was a sign, and I can't remember the percentage, but it was uncomfortably high. But it said, did you know that such and such percent of men don't wash their hands after they go to the bathroom? And I remember that. And rather than being caught up by the message of the sign, I said, how did they know that? Is there a camera in here? What? How did they figure that out? But they have calculated that the number of words that come out of our mouths is staggering each and every day. Now, it's one of those stigmas anyway, that women use more words than men. Sometimes that's true, sometimes not. But some have estimated that 25,000 words a day from men, 30,000 words for women perhaps, a day. And they have calculated that in an average lifetime, we will spend 13 years talking. 13 years. That's a lot of words. And we have the potential to do a lot of good with our words or a lot of harm. The importance of our words cannot be overstated. And in the book of Proverbs, there are dozens of proverbs that talk about our speech. If we were to look at them all, it would take us several weeks to look at them. I'm going to look at a few this morning as we talk about this very, very, very important part of our lives. Be careful, little tongue, what you say. It's an incredibly important thing. Now, we're going to be all over the place in Proverbs this morning. If you have a printed copy of the Word, it's probably to your advantage. You'll have to really work if you're using an electronic version. Although, if you use our church app, it's keyed right to the Scriptures. I'm not trying to make us more lazy, but Pastor Justin goes to all that work. So, I want you to know that as well. But let's pray, and then we will get into this morning. Lord God, it is staggering, the amount of words that we use, and the impact of them is even more staggering. So help us to learn that this morning, and help us to come away from here convinced and convicted that our words need to be used by you and not by the enemy. And so I surrender this time to you. I pray that we would have ears to hear and to respond. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to break this down in twos this morning. We're going to look at five different areas and just a glimpse of what the book of Proverbs is telling us about it. And we're going to start by looking at the fact there's two kinds of words that come out of our mouth in those thousands every day. There are words that hurt, and there are words that heal. And so we're going to begin in chapter 12 of Proverbs and consider verse 18. Where it says, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Words that hurt and words that heal. He says there's one whose rash words, whose thoughtless words, whose careless words, whose thoughtless words are like sword thrusts. Now, some of us grew up with a children's ditty that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. That is one of the greatest lies that has ever been told. Probably initially brought out by someone who had been hurt very, very deeply. Our words have that kind of potential, those harsh words, those critical words. Again, those careless, thoughtless words, they cut, they wound, they scar. They're so incredibly damaging. James spends a lot of time in his letter talking about the tongue. He goes so far as to say, if you could ever learn to control your tongue, anything else in the Christian life would be like eating cheesecake. I mean, it just as simple as can be, because the tongue is a deadly fire, he says. It's like a raging forest fire. It's like a deadly poison, full of evil. And those words can come so easily, so quickly. Words that hurt, rash words that are like sword thrusts. But he says also here in this section, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. While there is great potential for harm, there's also great potential for good. We have the opportunity to lift someone up, to build them up, to encourage them, to help them, to be a source of hope and life in them. And so our words need to be very, very carefully thought out before we speak. And it's even more so true now with social media. Our fingers need to be very, very careful. So also, chapter 18, this is a powerful, powerful verse. When you think about the significance of it, chapter 18, verse 21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Now, he's reminding us of the consequences. Whatever we choose to be the tone of our speech, if we choose life, if we choose death, we're going to get the same. It's going to come back on us. You'll eat its fruit at some point in time. But think about this, death and life. We can kill with our words. We can build up. We can breathe life into people. So two kinds of words that hurt and words that heal. I'm going to break that down now into each category. There are two kinds of hurtful words that we're going to consider from Proverbs. There are many, many others that we could bring out, but two in particular that we want to see. The first is dishonesty. Dishonesty. And in chapter 16, in verse 28, it says that a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Your translation might read differently. Sometimes it's translated the perverse, which means twisted, not accurate, not true. It's dishonesty. And we're talking about that kind of speech that is just twisted, it's shaded, it's colored to communicate a specific thing that is not accurate, that is not quite true. This will overlap with the next thing that we talk about, which is gossip, but many times when we pass something on, whether it's subconscious or intentional, we put our own spin on it. We communicate it as we heard it. And when this is done maliciously, we are communicating it in a way that we want it to be heard. Jesus said, you need to let your yes be yes and your no be no. There should be no question when someone is listening to us speak that they would say, I wonder what he means. I wonder what she is really saying here. But we should be known for this truthfulness and honesty and integrity in our speech so that our yes is yes, our no is no. Dishonesty is one of those ways that we spread hurt and we tear down instead of build up. The second one that we will refer to is gossip. And since this is such an acceptable sin, we're going to look at a few more scriptures on this one. But right there in 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. That's the word that the English Standard uses frequently, the whisperer. That one that's, it's just this backhanded, did you hear? Did you know? You know what I saw? You know what I heard? It's that kind of, that whisperer. What does he do? He spreads or separates close friends. It has that kind of damaging potential. We pass on a story, whether it's true or not, that's irrelevant. Some things just do not need to be shared. We'll see this more in just a little bit here. The epitome of love is knowing when not to. Just be quiet about it. A whisperer separates close friends. Over in chapter 17 and verse 9, it's what I was just referring to. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. Covering an offense, it's not a cover up, all right? It's not talking about some crime being done or some level of hurt and abuse is taking place or something illegal or whatever that we just cover up. No, it's talking about that thing. Well, there's something between you and me, and we keep it there. That's love. To go out and attract attention to it or to try to get people on our side, that's what he's talking about here. A number of years ago, I was involved in just a nasty church situation. And the people that were directly involved had pledged themselves what was said would stay in that room. But one of the parties would not. Always going out, talking about it, trying to get people onto his side. And it ended up in an awful church split. The act of love is to cover over an offense. That's not necessarily a sin issue. It's just one of those things that happens from sometimes. Doesn't need to be talked about anymore. But what he says, he who repeats a matter, again, even has the potential to separate close friends. It's that talking about issues that don't need to be talked about anymore. Chapter 26, verses 20 through 23. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. Like a glaze covering an earthen vessel are fervent lips with an evil heart. Most of us build fires at one time or another. It's just this very practical truth. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. It can't survive anymore. And he's saying the application of this, where there is no whisperer, the quarreling ceases. When someone says, no, I will not pass this on, I will not talk about this anymore, it stops. It has to stop. That kind of rumor, that kind of gossip needs fuel to be able to continue on. You say, no, I'm not going to feed it. And the pictures here are many that he gives in this whole passage. Charcoal to hot embers, wood to fire. And then the words of a whisperer like delicious morsels. Everybody likes it. Everybody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to pass it on. And he says, like a glaze covering an earthen vessel. That's the way that person is who cannot control his mouth. The evil heart that keeps things going. There's a clay pot here that by itself is pretty plain and pretty ugly. And then there's, you pretty it up with some kind of artificial covering to make it look attractive, to make it look different than what it really is. That's the way a person is. They might say it with a chuckle. They might say it with a smile. They might, you know, try to mask it with sarcasm or humor. But it's this repetitive thing. You're just covering over something with this artificial glaze. And so gossip is one of those things that is so damaging, so hurtful. And many times in Scripture, we're told, don't. Those are two kinds of hurtful words. Now, I also want us to think about two kinds of healing words. And the first one is kind of, it's kind of masked just a little bit, but it is definitely a healing word. And that's helpful correction. In chapter 27, verses 5 and 6, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Better is open rebuke. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Blind spots, by their very definition, are things that we can't see. And so we're talking about someone in our lives who cares enough for us that will come to us alone, not on Facebook, and say to us, I've seen something here. I don't think you mean for this to be the tone of your life. Who doesn't come with a sword to injure us, but comes with an arm around us to help us. We need this. There are a number of times in my life when I've had people come to me, not always in love, but sometimes people who've come to me in love to correct something that I didn't see, and it stings at the time. It's a little bit of hurt at the time, but overall, it's something that is going to make me a better person. It makes us better when someone will come alongside us and care enough for us to point out something that's just out of place, and we all need that. Helpful correction, open rebuke, you know, not hiding this, not covering over it, but coming to us, sharing with us this that needs to be different in our lives. That's one kind of healing word. The other one, I'm going to call encouragement. In chapter 25, in verse 11, we have this phrase, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. A word fitly spoken, aptly spoken, the right word at the right time. He says it's like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Now, I've never seen one of those, but it's got to be stunning. It's got to be beautiful. It's got to be a precious thing. And I don't know what it is about us that we think people can't handle compliments. We think people are going to get a big head, and so we're just afraid to encourage them, to compliment them. This is a hard world we live in. It's cruel. And we get chewed up every single day. We have the opportunity to speak life. We have the opportunity to build someone up. We have the opportunity to come alongside people and encourage them. And we need to do that. It needs to be a frequent thing that comes out of our mouths. Words that are just that cold drop of cold water on a hot day, that beautiful thing like a setting apple of gold in a setting of silver. Encouragement is one of those healing words. Now, the next two is there are two kinds of responses. When we're engaged in a conversation, when someone wants to quarrel, when someone wants to gossip, when those kinds of conversations are coming up, we've got two choices here. The first is we can douse the fire. We can douse it. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Now, chapter 15 and verse 1 might be one of these proverbs that you're very familiar with. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. That's not easy. Somebody's coming at us. The natural response, at least for some of us, is to nail them right back, just as hard as we can. But a soft answer turns away wrath. A number of years ago, a ranch that we were on, we inherited a couple of cats. We already had a couple of dogs, but we inherited these cats. And one of the dogs really, really, really wanted to chase cats. The only problem was cat wouldn't run. And virtually every time they were in the same vicinity, the dog would lunge at the cat and the cat would just stand there. It's really hard to chase a cat if the cat won't run. And it's hard for a quarrel to continue if you won't fight. It's hard for a heated conversation to continue if you will take the high road and be the mature one who will not fire back. A soft answer turns away wrath. I read something recently on Facebook, and it has to be true because it was on Facebook, right? It had the sense of genuineness. A woman was talking about being out in traffic, a busy area, and she just didn't see a guy, cut him off. And he was furious and laid on the horn and shaking his fist and other things at her, and she could read his lips as he was just profanely chewing her out. And by chance, they ended up at the same place. And she said he was waiting for her when she was starting to get out of her car and laid into her again. And she just stopped and said, "Listen, I am sorry. This was me. I'm just glad you were alert enough to keep us from getting into an accident. I am so sorry." "Well, you be careful next time." And he stormed off. Later in the store, he looked her up. And he said, "I owe you an apology. My day has not been good, and I took it out on you." Now, that doesn't happen 100% of the time, but a soft answer turns away wrath. If we can just be the bigger person to stop it. You can't chase a cat if the cat won't run. So, a soft answer. Douse the fire. The other option, though, is to fuel the fire. And this is what we read here in 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It keeps it going. Now, I've told you before, it's one of my weaknesses. I'm not a super intelligent person, but I've always been pretty quick-witted. And my responses are just right there. And it's one of those things that, man, I can just, somebody says something and I can be right there with a heartbeat and some kind of sarcastic remark or something. That just keeps it going. Douse the fire or fuel the fire. Now, we looked at chapter 26 a little bit ago, but again, that whole thought that's being communicated there to remind, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. Where there's no whisper, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. That comeback, that retort, that harsh word will keep the fight going, and the bigger person will let it rest. So two kinds of responses. And then to wrap this up, two kinds of solutions for us. 25,000 to 30,000 words a day. Some solutions to keep us from saying things that we should not. The first is just no restraint. In chapter 10 and verse 19, it says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent, is wise. Sometimes we just got to zip it. Just zip it up. Just stop. Don't talk anymore. Where words are many, transgression will flourish. So that's one thing. We need to learn restraint. The second thing is just simply think before you speak. Chapter 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. And if you know anything about Proverbs, the fool is not somebody that you want to be. All right, so the one that's hasty in their words. Just think. We need to learn not to engage the mouth before we engage the mind. We need to count to 10, take a breath, take a time out, walk away for a little bit. We just need to think before we speak. It is so, so, so incredibly important. The words that we say, they can hurt or they can heal. The best healing words that we can give are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people around us. He spoke clearly, but he spoke with grace. He was full of grace and truth, it says. And we speak his life, we speak his love, we speak his grace. We help people know that they can know him. They can know the Heavenly Father through a relationship with Jesus. And those are healing words. So let's think about this. Let's think about, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Our words can heal or they can destroy. What's really important here is that we remember where our words come from. In chapter 4, Solomon had already warned his son, you got to guard your heart, because it's out of the heart that all this stuff comes. Jesus said it like this. He said, for the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good man produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil man produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. So we've got to keep clean hearts. Keep short accounts with the Heavenly Father. Keep that storeroom in a good place by the grace of God. And it wouldn't hurt if we remember to pray some of the prayers that the psalmist did. He prayed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I'm trying to make that a daily prayer. But he also prayed, set a guard before my lips. Set a guard before the door of my mouth. Words can hurt, but words can also heal. Let's be committed to being healers. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you can redeem anything. And again, James gives us a pretty depressing picture, but it's not hopeless. I dare say all of us struggle from time to time with this issue. Before we leave here today, we'll have an opportunity to speak life or death. Certainly before the day's out, help us to choose life for the good of the family of God, for the good of humanity. Help us to choose life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.